looking from out of the window in Tulkarem last week, last week's invasion, and she was killed by a sniper, by an Israeli sniper. Her name is Bana. There's a systematic destruction for the invaded cities, kind of trying to cripple the infrastructure of these cities, you know, destroying the streets, the water pumps, the electricity, to make the life miserable or unbearable for the inhabitants there. They are so much focused on the refugee camps. Actually, the military operation in the West Bank this time is named summer camps. I don't know if you hear that in your media or not. They call it the summer camps. It's like a sarcastic name, meaning that this operation is like a fun operation for them to erase the refugee camps. And for your audience, Chris, whom do not understand what is the status of the refugee camps, these refugee camps have been established at the dawn of Nakba in 1948 in West Bank and Gaza, inhabiting the tens of thousands of people who were expelled and uprooted from the Palestinian coast. And the people who are living there right now are the grandchildren of those people. So it's like for the Israelis, these are like attention areas, because it's so much poverty, so much deprivation of basic needs, and, you know, these nostalgia for the homeland. As an example, the Nur Shams camp in Tulkarem, it has been extremely destructed by the Israeli army in the past couple of weeks. And it is estimated that over 250 houses in that camp are fully or partially demolished. And big part of the inhabitants are evacuated, as well as in Jenin refugee camp and other camps around the West Bank. I also would like to add to that the policy of home demolition is not restricted to refugee camps. It's happening all over the West Bank. According to Jerusalem Legal and Human Rights Center, during the first half of 2023, 34 houses have been completely demolished, including in the West Bank and also in East Jerusalem. Many other things are also happening in the West Bank, like, you know, these suicidal attacks because of this very desperate situation. You must have heard about the attack on the Jordanian Valley at the bridge on the borders by a Jordanian truck driver who has killed three Israeli soldiers. And also today at the borders of Ramallah, northern East Ramallah, also another attack and the killing of one Israeli soldier. And of course, the results or the impacts of these operations that, you know, the collective punishments, you know, this is a policy that is carried on by the Israelis since ever. The bridge is closed. People cannot get in or out. If you have, you know, urgent things to do, like, you know, traveling to, you know, pursue your education, traveling for health issues, to pursue your visa, for example, or whatever, you cannot. It's closed for a further notice. The main roads around Ramallah are also closed. The restrictions on movement is in continue. The attacks of the settlers, of course, everywhere around the West Bank. The economical crisis also now are rising in the West Bank because of, you know, lack of jobs, lack of opportunities, no workers inside Israel, no Palestinian workers to go into Israel. The Palestinian Authority is also suffering financially because Israel withholds the taxes. And this also, you know, leads to an increased social tension around the country. Just to make the story shorter to you, there is a collective depression status here in the country, like public depression. People are tired. People are afraid, skeptical about the future, worried that the scenario of Gaza is going to take over in the West Bank now. And bottom line, Chris, we are all hostages. We feel like that we are all hostages here, whether we are inside the, like physically inside the Israeli prisons or in our cities and villages and camps. All of the Palestinian nation is actually, I mean, feeling like prisoners here. Only the degree differs from one entity to the other.
Yeah, and I've a recent report too, or statement by Mustafa Barghouti of the PNI, one of the Palestinian political groupings. He is quite conservative in his criticism, I would say, but he has said that the goal of Israel is to eradicate the Palestinian people, not just what we see in Gaza, the horror there, but to spread this throughout the occupied territories. I've seen some of what you described, the tearing, the bulldozers with these big hooks dragging behind them, tearing up the roads and pipes and ruining the infrastructure in the West, in the West Bank. And we've seen also a lot because of this woman was American, Aysenur Ezgi-Aygi, the American-Turkish woman who was killed on the 6th of this month, last Friday. Mm-hmm. The Israeli authorities admit that it was probably a bullet from an Israeli gun that ricocheted, they say, off the ground or some such, where the more skeptical people like me would say that if you shoot somebody between the eyes, you were trying to do it. And these, we know these Israeli sharpshooters are very adept at doing that. What's the reaction I know that the people in Nablus came out for her funeral. What is there a reaction to her death that is any different than the Palestinians being killed daily in the West Bank?
Yes, actually, yes, because, you know, when you have someone, you know, coming from abroad, living their normal lives and risking their lives by coming here and in solidarity with the Palestinians and, you know, demonstrating with the people in the streets and showing lots of support, it's heartbreaking because you'd assume that those people are kind of immune because they are foreigners and they are visitors and they're not Palestinians. They do not, resemble a threat to the Israelis. And to see them killed intentionally is heartbreaking. We feel for them. We feel for their families. And we appreciate this immense sacrifice, of course. And it is also frightening because it actually, you know, make the activists think twice before taking an action and coming here. And Israel aims to isolate us further and further, not only by isolating us in our, closed cities and villages and inhabitants, but by, preventing people who are in support for the Palestinians to come and also witness and report.
Well, of course, Aysenur, too, she was with the International Solidarity Movement, the ISM, the same organization that Rachel Corrie, the other American that was killed by a bulldozer in 2003, belonged to.
Yeah, that's true. Rachel Corrie, believe me or not, every year, the Palestinians remember her, and there is a Memorial Day for Rachel Corrie, and there are streets in the West Bank, I think also in Gaza, I have no idea, but here in Ramallah, named after her. She's a big name in Palestine and well-remembered. And yes, I mean, Rachel Corrie was sitting in front of the bulldozer doing nothing, you know, not even throwing a stone. It's trying to prevent this bulldozer from demolishing this, poor house. in southern Gaza, and she was run over by the caterpillar. And can, yeah.
Oh, sorry to cut in, but when you one of the things though that I hadn't heard that you mentioned was this the moniker, this name that Israel has placed on their operations, so-called summer camps. I hadn't heard that. That's the first. And you know, here, and I'm sure it's the same there, summer camps is associated with children. This is where the people here send their children in the summer when school is out. Does this indicate, as we've seen, that Israel is repeatedly targeting children in Gaza? And the young girl that was shot out of her own house, or shot through her the window of her own house last week. Does this indicate that Israel is targeting children in the West Bank specifically?
Children are always the first target for the Israelis because they are the future. And because, I mean, it's also it's a form of punishment for the families. You know, if you attempt something, we kill your children. And this is the biggest punishment ever. So yes, it entails that. But basically, because these are refugee camps and because we call them the camps all the time. So I think, I mean, it is meant to be sarcastic that we are here to eradicate these camps, you know, to put an end for these camps, to kill people and children there, and to evacuate these camps. And to us, this is it's like a summer camp. It's a fun. It's a joy procedure. So it's, I mean, it's extremely fascistic in the core. Because to make this connotation between the refugee camps and the summer camps, it is meant to be as such. It's like, you know, killing you, getting rid of you, it resembles a joy to us, and which is the actual situation.
Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Salam Hamdan. She is a Palestinian political activist and social feminist. She's been here in Canada speaking on a speaking tour. She's back home now. She's been reporting on the situation in the West Bank since her return, and before that too, of course. We've seen that the Israeli activities there escalate in terrible ways in these last months, especially since the October 7th resistance in Gaza. Last time we spoke a few months ago, Salam, we were talking about the prisons there, and the big story was, at least in the counter media, was the Sdeit Tamim facility, Israel's torture camp. These reports are starting to become more mainstream here in North America, as I presume in Europe as well. What's going on with the people being taken by the military in the West Bank right now and put into these places like Sdeit Tamim?
It's pretty hard, and it's continuous. Although they've been reporting the other day on one of on their in their channel number 13, Israeli channel, that you know, the Israeli officers are objecting because the prisons are extremely crowded, and they cannot take more people, and they don't know where to put them. And even the, you know, the administration is not doing anything to, you know, to establish new facilities or whatever. And there is so much criticism happening around the world, much more attention by the media and by the human rights, international human rights organizations. So, I mean, they might be acting a little bit more careful. But I mean, they are still, you know, taking people from their houses, including from Ramallah, and imprisoning people. Most of those people, they just take them precautiously. I hope I'm saying this word right. They have done nothing. They have no accusations, but they just take them just in case. And placing them in very, very harsh conditions. One of them is a woman that I personally know, and she's a member of the political bureau of the Popular Front in Palestine. Her name is Khalida Jarrah. She's pretty famous. She's been imprisoned several times, But this time seems to be the harshest because she's placed in a very closed, very small dungeon, deprived of oxygen. She's not allowed out. She doesn't, they do not let her leave the dungeon. They provide very little food because her lawyer eventually managed to meet her. And she passed this message, you know, like an appeal to the world that I am suffocating. I'm deprived of oxygen. I feel like I'm dying. Like, please help. And this is a political, like a personal. She's not like a fighter or, you know, or a Hamas or jihad or whatever. And she is treated like that. And she is in her late 50s. So you can imagine the situation for the people who are not famous, the people who are not well-known, younger people, young men, children, what's happening to them. And in every case, whenever a prisoner is released, whether we know him like in person or we don't, like we can see and witness the immense change on the health of this person, not only the physical health, but also the mental and the psychological health, because there's so much torture and ill treatment and, you know, starvation and take your pick.
Well, we have seen, too, that the massive demonstrations in Tel Aviv, people calling for a hostage deal to free the people held, the Israelis held in Gaza. How do you in the West Bank watch these events in Israel?
Well, these events have been happening since the start of the war because of the hostages. Like those people who are demonstrating in Israel in now in hundreds of thousands recently. I mean, they started in small numbers, but now the numbers are growing very rapidly. It's not because they object on the war or they object on the genocide or the horrible situations in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. And not about that at all. Actually, they raise the Israeli flags and like they cheer for the state. And, you know, it's a Zionist bulk, basically. But because of the hostages and because it is proven to them that Netanyahu and his government are not concerned about the hostages. It's the least of their concern. And because, you know, they've been promising that with immense power, that we will free them without the need to negotiate with Hamas and, you know, the resistance, the terrorists, in brackets, in their words. And their operations have been failing all the time, and they just managed to get the hostages that they try to free as dead bodies. So their families are demonstrating, as well as the opposition. And because also this government is dragging Israel further and further towards the regional war, which is worrying the Israeli nation, of course, with Iran, with Hezbollah, with, you know, expanding it also in the West Bank. And it's like a gamble game. So they understand that the consequences might not come in their favor. So the, you know,
well, we saw the opposition is getting stronger. We saw hundreds killed in a previous attempt to a successful attempt. The Israelis would say that they half of the hostages or the prisoners held within Gaza that they attempted to release were killed, and the other half were gotten out. But a couple of hundred or more civilians that were in a marketplace were killed by the bombing and shooting that went along with that. The last time we spoke, Salam, we talked about the public security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir. He famously was saying that the prisons were so crowded that he thought that they should start killing prisoners. These are people mostly held without charge, without trial or anything of the sort. Haaretz, primary newspaper news outlet in Israel, is talking about hostage deals and how Ben-Gvir is a impediment to those deals, and that maybe he'll be iced out of the government so these deals can go forward. Do you see any evidence from where you are that the Israeli government is ready to fold and reform itself around the hostage issue?
It's not quite clear, actually. Like a little while ago, Netanyahu was extremely strong, full of power, especially after his return from the United States and his, like, you know, speech in front of the Congress, who clapped passionately for him. So he came back in power, and, you know, he was, I mean, he's like very consistent about his plan. His discourse is not changing, no matter what. Even with all these demonstrations and strikes inside Israel, his discourse is pretty much the same. He's waiting, like he's playing with time. There are always, you know, these contradictory talks about whether this government will stand, whether there's going to be a unity, whatever, this and that. But I think this is like a form of playing with time until the American elections, are done, and until they see who takes over, what this new president is willing to do further to please Israel, or, you know, what kind of compromises would be there. But actually, we do not see here that these, you know, settler ministers are at risk. We see them stronger. We see them stronger, and we see that they have so much domination on the Israeli street and also on Netanyahu. And their interests, come at the same line with the interests of Netanyahu. So I'm not sure.
Well, November seems a very long way away. I'm looking at a quote from Ben-Gvir from the Jerusalem Post that he's saying, echoing Napoleon's statement that I am the state. He's saying I am the political echelon, and I'm not going anywhere, presumably, is the message that he is trying to impart. Salam, we're fast out of time. How, in our final minute, can people over here, so isolated from the news of what's really happening, how can we learn what's really going on, and how can we help?
I think you're learning so much because people do not lean anymore on the mainstream media. As we've said before, people search and dig further, and there's so much social media. For the people who want to know, there are places, to search through. Just look at B'Tselem. This is a human rights organization, an Israeli human rights organization that is reporting all the time about the prisoners, about the situations in the territories, and et cetera, et cetera. So the information is out there. There are so many, many ways to help further continue to pressure your governments. Yeah. That's the basic thing.
Yeah, clean your own porch first is the saying here. It's and sadly, Salam, I can't say that there's a political faction within the Parliament of Canada that is doing anything to move in a direction that would be considered hopeful for the Palestinian people. Not yet, at least, but we have elections coming up pretty quickly, too. Salam, thanks a lot for coming on and again and sharing what's going on in your city and in the West Bank generally.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me again. Just allow me to add one sentence to the talk. I really hope that your audience dig through further on how the Palestinians get the Canadian visa, how the Canadian government make it extremely, extremely hard for us to do so, how they oblige us to go either to Tel Aviv, which is completely off limits for the Palestinians in the Palestinian territories, or to Jordan, which is also risky to go because of the roads and because it's very expensive. And the bridge continues to close every once and then. And
why does the Canadian government not have a mission in Ramallah? They once recognized that Ramallah would be the capital of a two-state solution, and it would be the Palestinian capital. Is there no consul or mission services available within Ramallah?
No, there is a representative office, but it's like merely for cultural, events. There is no visa application center, and the visa application, the Canadian visa application, is extremely complicated. Just to fill that application is like a big, huge task. And they do not provide any services in the territories. It's the only country. I mean, it's really shocking, because the Americans themselves, who are the biggest supporter of the Israelis, provide services in East Jerusalem. The Germans, the British, the Europeans, they provide services in Ramallah and in other Palestinian cities, except for the Canadians.
Yeah, another dismal failure on the part of this country. Yes, I would urge all of our listeners to make inquiries with the government about their reneging on their responsibility. Because there are two Canadian-Palestinian citizens who go back and forth when they can do, and that need those services as well as their families. Well, thanks again, Salam, and I will follow up on that, and I'll let you know what happens in that regard.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you for having me again.
Well, my great pleasure, and I want to also thank Dimitri Lascaris and remind everyone to go to Dimitri's website, dimitrilascaris.org. Thanks again, Salam.
You're welcome.
Well, I gotta think that we're not alone.
I'm sitting in my house watching all this happen, and I've arrived to a point where I just can't keep my mouth shut anymore.
Guerrilla Radio, you're not alone.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.